You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sarah Clapson. I'll be here for the next 15, 20 minutes or so, answering any questions, responding to any comments. Do get involved. Plenty to talk about. It feels like a lot has happened since Forest were last in action. That game at Luton seems a long time ago now. Obviously, quite a bit has changed since then. Forest returned to action on Saturday, find themselves in the bottom three as a result of the four-point deduction that was imposed for breaching financial rules. Club have since submitted or launched an appeal against it. But for the time being, the four-point deduction meant that Forest dropped into the relegation zone just behind Luton. So that draw at Kenilworth Road looks particularly or even more frustrating. As a result of that, nine games to go, two home games to return with after the international break. So huge, huge opportunity there for Nuno and the team to get some much needed points on the board. A little bit of concern about Willy Bolly on international duty and how he seemed to pick up a little bit of a knock. We're hearing from Nuno tomorrow, so hopefully we'll find out more about that. If he's okay, I think I would keep him in because I thought he made a difference at Luton. I thought that partnership of him and Murillo, the height, the physicality that, and the experience as well that Bolly brings, I think can be really beneficial. So I would, if he's fit enough, I would start with him. We wait to hear a little bit more about Taiwo Awoniyi and how long he will be out for. The suggestion a couple of weeks or back at the Luton game was that it could be anywhere from 2 to 5 weeks. So quite a big time scale. Hopefully they'll have been able to do, the club will have done some more tests during this international break. So hopefully we get a bit more of an update. I think I would start with Chris Wood. I mean, he came off as well, but he's expected to be fit after he came off against Luton. So I think I would start with him anyway. I think he's done really well under Nuno, Chris Wood, and obviously got his goal last time out. Getting the support around him is going to be really key. Nuno's substitutions came in for a bit of stick at Luton and then the starting lineup at Brighton before that. So it's so important to get that balance right. Same with midfield, same with the centre-back partnership as well. For me, I sound like a broken record because I say this probably every week, but it's getting a settled team, having an established group to build around and build up those relationships and partnerships and try to get some consistency in the starting 11. I think that's going to be so important in these next nine games. On that note, I'm going to bring this one up. Richard, hi Richard, says, Morgan Gibbs-White could be worth a go at defensive midfield with Rayner up top. He always looks to have more control when he drops deep and his dynamism could draw opponents out of position and open up play for an attacking three or four. Morgan Gibbs-White, his best role is as a number 10. And I think you're right, he's able to drop deep, but I think you get more out of him when you're playing him in his best position, and that's as a 10. Morgan Gibbs-White benefited from that switch. He was playing out wide under Steve Cooper. Nuno came in, made the change, and it gave Morgan gives White a new lease of life almost. He's got so much quality and he's got so much that he can offer. I get the Rayner debate. And there is another question on that, and I'll come to that in a minute. But what Morgan Gibbs White brings and the difference that he can make in games, I just think you have to start him where he's at, he's most effective. And for me, that's in that number 10 role. What's key is getting that support around him. For me, first choice is Callum Hudson-Odoi and Anthony Elanga on the flanks. I know Nuno was stuck with Divock Origi. He certainly did it at Luton. I think Origi has looked bright and he's done okay. He's not really had the end product though. Elanga and Hudson-Odoi have shown that. They've both shown they can score goals, they can get assists. They've got bags of pace. For me, those two start with Morgan in that 10 and probably with Wood up top at the minute. Starting with the most or the strongest team for me. The time for experimenting, I think it's not now, not when there's so much riding on games. I just think it's go with your strongest 11. Square pegs in square holes and all that. Play the players where they're at the most effective and really go for games. I think trying to get back to winning ways is about going out and Forest imposing themselves on matches. It's about taking the initiative, starting well, starting on the front foot and creating more chances and scoring, obviously scoring more goals as well. And I think it's hopefully once one win comes, that builds momentum. We saw last season, the last few weeks of the campaign, how momentum built and results came. Got to hope that that's the case again this year. I'm going to bring this one up on the back of that. Barry says, I say this again, Rayner needs to play. He had two assists for his country and looked like he had talent and ability. Certainly had a good international camp, hasn't he? Gio Rayner, I'm sure he will come back full of confidence as well from his exploits with the USA. Been in goal scoring form for them, obviously got the assists as well, like you say. So he's shown, I think there was no question that he had talent, that he had ability when he came in. The problem that he's had, and it kind of alludes to the previous question as well, is that he is most effective in that number 10 role, where Morgan Gibbs-White is most effective as well. For Nuno, Gibbs-White is just ahead at the minute. So I think Rayner is going to find it tough still to get into the starting lineup. I think he's got his work cut out. I think he's looked okay when he's come on in games. I would have put him on at Luton for sure, although he was just recovering from a knock. So maybe that came into Nuno's thinking. I think he deserves more of a chance. I think he deserves more minutes. It's finding a way of getting those minutes, because obviously circumstances in games dictate when you bring particularly attacking players, when you bring them on. Hopefully he shows his quality. Hopefully he reproduces what he did for the US back at the City Ground, because if he can do that, then he's going to find more chances will come. I do think he deserves more minutes. I do think he deserves a real chance. I just don't see how he gets into the 11 still at the moment. Not when you want to play your strongest team. I think the fact that he's shown he can score goals, create assists and play really well for his country, he needs to do that from off the bench for Forest. Take his opportunities, so important, and then build from there. 9 games to go, still plenty of time for him to make an impact. We just haven't really seen him do that yet for Forest. Hopefully he can. Kieran, I'll bring this one up from you. Hi, Kieran, says, hopefully with the point deduction done and dusted, the staff and players may feel more comfortable. So hopefully the results do change now. A little bit where I think there's a little bit of concern over the appeal into the points deduction is that it's not done and dusted anymore. There is still that bit of uncertainty. And I think the big question around it is the psychological aspect. Once the point deduction came in, there was that certainty, you're right. And it was kind of, this is what they need to do. This is what the gap is. This is the challenge kind of laid down. But now there's that little bit of, oh, it's not quite done and dusted as we thought. It's not, or as it could have been. There's still that little bit of uncertainty. The challenge for Nuno, with that, bearing that in mind, is to make sure that players don't even think about that. Take it as 4 points. Assume that it's not going to change. It might. If it does, great. If it gets better, obviously. Very, very slim chance, we're told, that it could be increased. So I think for Nuno, staff, players, take it as 4 points, adopt this kind of siege mentality that we saw Everton did when they got their deduction earlier on in the season, and know that's the gap you have to build. Hopefully it does kickstart something. Hopefully, like you say, it can be a putting that uncertainty, because it was a cloud hanging over, as much as Nuno was constantly stressed that the focus was on matters on the pitch. I think there was just that cloud hanging over the club because of the threat of the points deduction. I think hopefully now that that's out in the air, hopefully that does change something, like you say. Hi, Andreas. Greetings from Germany. Forest Forever. I've been a friend of the club for years. Hi, Andreas. Good to have you watching from all that way over in Germany. Weighing into the Morgan Gibbs-White and Rayner debate, quite a few on that. So Richard says, Morgan's been sort of quiet this season. Few goals, few assists. Drop him and play Rayner. Can't do no harm. I kind of get both sides of the debate, really. And I think it underlines what a tough choice it is for Nuno when it comes to team selection and picking who starts and who comes on. It's not easy. Not when there's so much riding on games and there's so much pressure and you're relying on so many different things. I think Morgan has had probably a quietish spell. I agree with that. I'll go back to earlier on in Nuno's reign when he first came in. Morgan really benefited from that switch. I thought he just got a new lease of life. Scoring goals, really having an impact on games. And then obviously, I guess the same as a team as a whole, just went flat a bit. I don't think he's the only one who suffered from that in recent weeks. I still think he's got so much quality. I don't think it's quite the time to drop him yet for me. I suppose going back to that previous question about how you could fit Morgan Gibbs-White and Gio Reyna in the same team, maybe that's the answer. But I just think Gibbs-White is too good a player to leave out and to not play where he's at his best. Reyna has looked good for the US this international break, but he hasn't done it yet in a Forest shirt. Morgan Gibbs-White has. So that's why, for me, I think he still has the edge and why I would still keep him in the 11, because he can affect games. He's got that little, he can have those little bit moments of magic, even when he's having a quiet spell or when he doesn't look at his best, he can still pop up with those moments. Set pieces are what, I've just seen a comment come in about it. Set pieces are one area for sure that Nico Williams seems to be really capable of taking them for Wales. I would certainly consider putting him on set piece duty, because he's been in great form as well. Get him putting those free kicks and corners in, perhaps give Morgan a break in that sense. Maybe that'll take a little bit of that responsibility off Morgan Gibbs-White's shoulders and free him up to express himself in different ways. I think certainly worth giving Nico Williams a go, surely, see what he can do, because set pieces are such a huge problem at both ends of the pitch. It's just a massive, massive area for improvement, and they can have a huge effect on games. Get it right, and it just, defensively and attacking, they can change games. And we've seen that already to Forest's detriment a little bit when it comes to conceding goals from set pieces, at least. So that's got to change. You'd like to think that it can. It needs to happen quickly, because games are running out. Forest can't afford to keep shooting themselves in the foot by letting in cheap goals at corners or free kicks. And they need to make more of those opportunities at the other end of the pitch. So I think something has to change, and I would probably give Nico Williams a go. Why not? I think that's something that could make a difference, hopefully. Richard, I'll bring this up on the appeal as well, says, regarding the Ricky appeal, we can't lose any more points, so it's kind of a free hit. Put it at the back of the mind and crack on. In terms of the appeal, there is a very, very small risk that it could be increased. It's written in the Premier League rules that appeal boards have that power. They can increase penalties if they see fit. It's a very, very slim chance, we're told. Unlikely to happen. Doesn't mean it can't or it won't necessarily. But I think the club obviously know that, and they do see as a free hit. They made clear, the club, that they were very unhappy with the outcome of the hearing and the written reasons. I think the statement that they put out afterwards was very hard hitting. really clear in what they thought about it all. So you can see why after that they decided to appeal. We had a really good, can definitely recommend it as interesting listening podcast earlier this week with Robert from the Supporters Trust, who is also a financial expert, and he basically went through the written report that obviously we can all read, but he understands it far more than I certainly could, and explained why he agreed with the club not being happy with it. Going to be interesting to see how it pans out, the appeal. Hopefully it gets done quickly. The one thing that nobody wants as well in terms of the appeal, and obviously Everton's second charge, is that there is this possibility that it could drag on after the season has finished, that after the final game, things are still up on the air. Forest might have been sorted then, and it's certainly, I think the Premier League will not want things to drag on after the season has finished. But bear in mind that there is the Everton second charge as well, and then they could launch an appeal for that. Forest might have been done and dusted, but it doesn't mean the whole relegation. It means the relegation picture could still be up in the air after the final game if we know that May 24th backstop date is there. So nobody wants that. I'm sure the Premier League don't want that. The best thing that Forest can do, obviously, appeal or not appeal, or points back or not, is just to win games, take it in their own hands and do what they can do on the pitch and move up the table that way. Get the results so that it doesn't matter. Everybody wants it to be successful at the club anyway, but get points and take control of it that way. I think that's probably the best thing. Thank you all for getting involved, and for lots of questions. I'll be back with another one of these next week, and Max should be back with another podcast later in the week as well. Thanks all.